before I preach, I want to sing a song.
Yes.
This song always reminds me of my first time that I saw Bergan. I thought Bergan is American. Huh? Yes. When I was in the message, I always have many missionaries from America. Then when they came to our country, then every year we have our 3 days fellowship. Then our speaker is my father. Then when I take over the church, then I told my father we still have fellowship. Then I invite the ministers in Manila, like Maddox and Larry Hart. But he said to me, no, we cannot come and join with you in your fellowship. Richard God is coming. So I thought, America. At that time, I was working in the Bureau, in the Post and the Government, in the Postal Services. So I know who are the missionaries that would come to the country, because I always go to the airport. But when I was in the airport, I saw two American, but they are missionary from the Primito this church. So after that, I don't know where is another American. So when I saw the pastor of Dungogo, then I meet him in the airport and he talked with Bergan. So I introduced myself to Bergan. And I told him, Bergan, we have fellowship today, and my father is our speaker, but if you come to us, then we give you another time to preach or share the message. Then he said, yes, I will visit you on the last day. Then when he visited in the last day, my two sisters, they are quarreling, yeah? Because one saw a white dove, another one didn't saw a white dove. So then after the service, I told these two sisters, do not worry, because you saw the white dove. So yes, a sign is for the unbelievers. You might do not believe Bergan. So God had given you a permission that man is a truth. But a testimony that I have with Bergan is this. When I was praying to God about the ministry, because very new to us, the ministry. So I was standing there, and he held my two arms in my shoulder, then he put me on the rock. And he said, stay in the rock. And that's the time when I stay in the rock of the Word of God, the revelation. Now there are so many people are blaming me because Brother God went to our country. It is me who is to be blamed. So I just thank the Lord of it. My heart was distressed when the whole world was born, and now in the pit where my sins dragged down, I cry to the Lord from the deep my clay, who soon early brought me and to God in vain. He brought me out from the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put my soul in my soul today. A song of praise, hallelujah. He broke me up in the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today. A song of praise, hallelujah. Thank you. Now, I always bring my in my place. I always read the book about this John chapter 22. Let us rise for the respect of reading of the Word of God. John chapter 21. Verse 11. Is it verse 11? Yeah. basket. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. May the Lord add more blessing to His word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this privilege that You have given to us now. And we give glory to Your name of sending Jesus for us as our Savior. And we give glory, Lord, for the protection that You have given to us in so many problems that will come to our country. And we just give You the glory. All things work together for good to them that loveth the Lord. So we bless You, Lord, and anoint Your servant to protect this word for our soul. And we give glory to Your name in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Yes, you may be seated. When I was in Liti, my first time that I visit Liti, Kananga Liti, I took this verse. Then I divided it by, as we know already, that this is 9 times 17 is 153. So 10 plus 7, then 3 plus 3 times 3. So I will share to you about the 7. Now in Revelation chapter 3, hallelujah, in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and be with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sit down with my Father in His throne. So if we talk about throne, in the millennium, the believers or the bride will be kings, and Jesus is the King of Kings. Now I want to talk to you about 7 kings in the Bible. Would be some very much they are the examples whom we chose the king. But the first king in the Bible was Saul. First Samuel, when the people need a king, then they went to Saul, to Samuel, then they asked Samuel for a king. Then when this king, when Samuel was not happy for their asking kings to rule over him. But we know that in Deuteronomy 17 verse 17, the Lord God had already said to Moses that God would set up a kingdom. And He will put kings, and there are warnings about who will be the kings. But this, in time of Samuel, they are asking for a king. Yes. But Samuel knows that in Deuteronomy 17, God promised him for a kingdom, yes, and there will be a king. So the first king was Saul. King Saul was the first one. Then the second king is David. The third king is Saul. Third king is Solomon. Then my fourth king is Jeroboam. Then my fifth king is will be Hosea. Then Zedekiah and Hezekiah. So the first thing is I will talk about David, of King Saul. When King Saul was asked for a king, the name Saul asked for. Then 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 1, Saul was anointed king of Israel. Now because Samuel saw the body belt of Saul. Now people ask, how shall this man save us? Now the people had no
they can save about Saul. Maybe they don't see the ability to be their king or to be their leader. So when Saul defeat the Amorites, then Saul is confirmed king in 1 Samuel chapter 11 verse 12. He is confirmed by the people to be the king. Then what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 13 to 15 by offering a sacrifice? When there was a war in that time, then Saul was afraid. He cannot wait for Samuel to do the sacrifice and inquire from God about the war, if he will war or not. So because the people are already afraid, so Saul offered a sacrifice as a priest. And this is the thing that God was not happy for it. I had read the message of Brother Branham doing God's service without his will. Yeah, if Saul is a king, then he cannot do the works of the priest to offer something for God. Now, by ordering death of his own son, that's the second also mistake of Saul. But the third thing, the total rejection is when Saul opposed the commandments of God by destroying the pagan pagan king Agag. When they consulted Samuel, then Samuel told them, you must kill from the very small boy to the king. Everyone must be cut off. But Saul rejected these words. And when Samuel saw hear the cry of those lambs and cows, then Samuel said in verse chapter 15 of Samuel, First Samuel chapter 15. Verse 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hear keep them far of the wrongs. For the rebellion is as sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, so hath also rejected thee from a king." So this is the first thing that we can show. King Saul was rejected as king. At this time also, Samuel went to the house of Jesse. Because God told him, you have to choose another king. So Samuel went to the house of Jesse. Then when he went to the house of Jesse in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and the Lord said to Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse in Bethlehem, in the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among my sons." Now, some believers said to have a king is doing God's service to Israel, or to have a king is going to a denomination. But remember, in Deuteronomy 17, God promised a kingdom, then God would to install kings over his people. Now, when he went, and Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." So Samuel go to the house of Jesse, And then in verse 17, all the sons and daughters of all the sons of Jesse. And it came verse 6, and it came to pass when they were come, and he looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Lord anointed is before him. Then, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not in his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So at this time, Samuel is looking for a big guy, tall guy, that can rule also again the kingdom. But as he was told by God, you only see the outward, and I saw the inside. So, and God told him, and Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord choose this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord choose this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen this. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet a youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for he will not sit down till he come hither. So at this time, the sons of Jesse are big enough as what Samuel saw. But God does not choose them. So he called the youngest. Then Samuel went there. And then he anointed David to be the next king of Israel. So let's put that. We go back on it. Then there's also Solomon. After David, then Solomon also was the king of Israel. Then after Solomon, if we can go on to 1 Kings 11, then Solomon, 1 Kings 10, 11, Solomon had defiled everything that God had given unto him. He was rebuked, he was corrected by the king, by his father, by the prophet, but he rejected. Then the king said, after you will die, the kingdom will be tear into two pieces. Yes. Huh? So Jeroboam, who came from Egypt, then Rehoboam is the son in the lineage of Solomon or David. So Jeroboam came. 1 Kings 11. When Jeroboam came in 1 Kings 11, he went to Rehoboam. Then when he went to Rehoboam, he asked Rehoboam that he complained. The people complained about the heavy taxes of his father. Our neck, the heavy taxes of your father is heavier. Please. Take it away so we can still follow you as king in Jerusalem. So Rehoboam went to his advisor, the elders. Then the elders advised Rehoboam, you have to take away some of those taxation that your father had done. Then again Rehoboam went to the young advisors. But the young advisors told him, okay, Rehoboam, tell the people, if your father had full taxation that your neck are carrying now, the taxation will be more heavy. Your finger will be the one shouldering it. Too much heavy. And this is the time that the prophecy of Solomon, when Solomon rejected the advice of the press, of the prophet and his father, when he was advised by his father, and the prophet. Then the prophet said, when you die, the kingdom would be divided into two. So when the kingdom was divided into two, Jeroboam was in the 10 nations, and Rehoboam is only for the two nations, two tribes and 10 tribes. Now, the thing is, when Jehoboam, okay, when he was the king of the 10 tribes, every year the Israelites will go to Judah to celebrate the three feasts of Jehovah. So he was afraid. He was afraid that when these people will travel to Judah then to celebrate this feast of Jehovah, their mind might be changed and they will tell me. So what Jeroboam said in 11, chapter 11, when Jeroboam was the king, then he did he made four things which the Lord was not happy in the kingdom. The first thing Jeroboam had built, the Lord had gave the kingdom of Israel to David forever. Yes, and that is what King Abiha had told Jeroboam. Now, when Jeroboam was king of the 10 tribes, the first thing is he changed the place of worship. In the days of Abraham, when God told to Abraham, you have to sacrifice Isaac to the place where I have chosen. Now we know Jerusalem was chosen by God. Now, but Jeroboam made these things in God and in Ephraim. He made two big temple in there so that the people will not go to Judah anymore. He said, it's too far for you to go to Judah. Why not stay here? There is also a temple. One thing is that the temple he built is not the temple in Ephraim and God. So the people will not anymore go to Judah to celebrate or to worship God. Then he also created golden calves and images in that temple. And he told the people, our fathers before worshipped these golden calves in Egypt. So they say, okay, we always worship God. Then the third thing is, the true Levites, he did not choose the true Levites to do the sacrifice, to do the works in the temple. He chose his own people, not Levites. So the true Levites went back to Judah so that they can have their services unto the Lord. Now, okay. Then in chapter 13, 2 Corinthians 13, this is what the failure of King Jeroboam. Okay. Then Abiha succeeded Rehoboam. At this time, Jeroboam, the kingdom of Jeroboam, want to go to fight against his brothers. His brothers who are also in the southern part. So Abiha was there. Then Jeroboam sent 800,000 of troops. The Jeroboam, Abiha only 400. So when the soldiers of Jeroboam came into the valley, then Abiha went up to the mountain. Then he shouted and preached to the people in the valley. And he said, the Lord gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever and ever to his son by the covenant. Because Jeroboam is not in the genealogy of David. He is not a relative of David. So this is the one thing that the God will not permit you to be the ruler over the God's people. Then he said, you also changed the place that God had also, God had already a place of worship where the people of Israel will sacrifice, will have their services to the Lord. So, that's the second thing. Then because of this, he also prayed golden calves to put in the worship. Yeah, so I remember Saul, someone rebuked Saul, obey is better than sacrifice. In rejecting the word of God, it's the same thing as you are worshipping idols. Huh? So when these things had happened, Jeroboam cannot anymore wait for what is the next thing. So he divided, Jeroboam divided the army, 400 at the back, then 400,000 at the back, then 400,000 at the front. So the soldiers of Abiha is there in the middle. So fighting this 800,000 by 400,000, we can surely say that the 800,000 will win this battle. But when he cried unto the Lord, Abiha cried unto the Lord, for these people rejected God. These people rejected him, so he cried unto the Lord. So the battle was dead, then Jeroboam died. Faith. Then after Jeroboam, I have Hezekiah. Then Hezekiah was the king. He repaired the temple and organized the orchestra group and appointed Levitical singing choir. Right? Just in 2 Kings chapter 18 verse 1 to chapter 20 verse 21. Now when Hezekiah have done these things, he carried on the greatest Passover celebration. So he is restoring the ordinances of God to the kingdom. Then he was, and after this, something that happened to his life, to Hezekiah. And something happened to his life. We mean something happened to his life. There was boiled in his body. So he was sick. He called the prophet. Then prophet Isaiah went unto him and said, "Is this sickness that I have will bring me to death, or I shall be again a healed and restore the kingdom?" So Isaiah said, "Okay, just prepare your family. For 3 days you will die." So Hezekiah kneel down and pray unto the Lord and cry, and he said to the Lord, "What happened to me? Did I wrong? Did I do wrong in this kingdom? Or if I'm not any more capable to do this, then take me out." Before Prophet Isaiah went home, then the Lord told Isaiah, "Go back and tell Hezekiah that the sickness that he had will be cured." So when the prophet Isaiah went back to Hezekiah, then Prophet Isaiah told him, "Your sickness will be healed." So after it, he was still happy that he can serve, because God, the prophet said, "Yeah, will be added 15 years to rule again, to rule the people." So he was happy on this. But the only thing is, he foolishly showed the wealth of Judah to the Babylonians. Huh? The Babylonians are waiting, okay, that king might die, because some told us he was sick. Then someday, okay, he will die. But when he was healed, the Babylonians are amazed. Why? What happened to the king? He was sickly. He's sickly, but now he's already healed. So they went to the kingdom of Hezekiah. And the thing is, Hezekiah did not consult the press and the prophets about the visitor. So when the ambassador of Babylonia came, then he showed
the good things in the temple. He showed these things, the golden candle, everything that is very nice to look at in the temple. So after the Babylonians went home, the prophet visited him and said, because you have sent these things that is of God to these people, a time will come that they will take this away from you. Okay? Then, after that, Hosea was there. When Hosea came as the godliest king of Israel, Judah, because if you talk Israel, that is a 10 tribe, but when you talk Judah, this is the southern part. When Hosea came, 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1, then 23 to 30, he is the godliest king. The same thing he had done, repaired the temple, organized, but the thing here is the very good thing that King Hosea had found. When they repaired the temple, he found the book of Moses. And this is the time that the word of God was read to the congregation of Israel. So we are all happy to have this word of God read in the congregation. So they are all happy, and then he also conducted a Passover. Yes, but what's his failure? This was a war between the Egyptians and the Syrians. And he said, I want to go there and fight against them. I want to go with you, but they said, no, do not go with us. This war is not yours, our. This is the war between other nations. But he went there and joined with the army. Then he died. This was the failure of the king Zia. This is the same as Sedekiah. Okay? Now these seven things that I had present to you. Now, we are also kings in the day of millennium. As I choose you this day, whose king are you looking for? Huh? You want to be like the attitude of King Solomon, because in the days of King Solomon there is no trouble in his kingdom. Right? Everyone is prosperous. Now in the days of David, David is a good king also, but he had many problems in his kingdom. So King David, I chose King David as our example to be in our life. When you found Solomon is a good king. There is no war, there's nothing, no problem in his kingdom. But David has many problems in his kingdom. But God is not looking for, the expansion of the kingdom. But God is looking for a king or a believer that can humble himself. When he is rebuked, when he commits sin, he confesses sin to God, then he humbled himself.
Yes.
These other kings did not humble themselves. Solomon did not humble himself. He was rebuked by his father. So, I chose King David. Now, the first sin of King David was when he was in the tower. He saw the wife of Uriah. Then he said to these people, okay, bring the wife of Uriah to my house, invite her to my house. Then because the wife of Uriah is Bathsheba. And then when he was invited to the house, after things that there was an adultery or fornication, that was made to Bathsheba. Then David found out that the woman became pregnant. And he knew that the woman has a husband. So he asked the people, whose husband is Uriah? So he sent a letter to General Joab and bring Uriah back home. So when Uriah back home, he said, what is it, my king? Oh, just be happy. Be happy and drink and eat and go with your wife. But Uriah said, no, I cannot do it, my king. My brothers and my co-colleagues in the battlefield are fighting hard to defend the country.
But me, just go home and happy or just marry with my wife. What they feel is what I feel also. Oh, never mind, leave them alone, leave them alone. So, you just go home and make happy, be happy, take your vacation to go with your wife. But Oriah said, no, I have to stay in the palace. So he go down, but he didn't go to the house. He just sleep in the palace. So in the morning, what happened to Oriah? Did he went home? He said, no, my lord. Why? He sleep near the palace. Okay, why are you doing this? Be happy and go to your wife. You're already many days, you are not with your wife. So go. Then I said, no, I cannot go. My brother, my colleague soldiers are there in the battle fighting. So what happened to that? Did the king order a letter to Joab? Put Uriah in the fighting, the first fighting. So he gave this letter to Uriah. Bring this letter to General Joab. Then when he went to Joab, Joab read the letter to the king. Okay, you go there. Bring your soldiers. You will be the captain of 100 or 50 people. So just go to the battle. The king ordered. So Uriah died in the battle. So nobody knows what did David say, have done to Uriah, Bathsheba. So he is now free. Because the wife is already a widow, become the widow. So one day a prophet visit him. I want to tell you a story, king. Okay. And then there was a man who had 10 fats of lambs in his 10 cows or 10 fats of lamb in his house. Then he had a visitor. When he had a visitor, he ordered his servants get the lamb to the neighbor and kill it and give it to our visitor. Is it right, King David? Oh, no. That's good. Then I must punish him. Then he must pay him double of what he had done. So the prophet said, okay, that's good. It was you, King David. It was you who killed the husband. Then you have... it was you who killed... Uriah, then you get busy. So at that time when he was rebuked by a prophet, he humbled himself. Right? Amen. He humbled himself. How he is a very, he is a king, but he humbled himself. So this is what the attitude must be for a believer today. To be good as a king, to roll in 1,000 year reign of Christ, we must have the character of a king. When we are open rebuke, then we must humble ourselves. We must confess that we commit sin. For if we don't, if we hide that thing and say, no, I did not commit sin. So we are just lying ourselves. So this king humbled himself. And when he humbled himself, hallelujah, he was forgiven. He was forgiven by God. The next thing is, the next thing that King David had done an evil thing also again to his kingdom. Yes, when David was in first, I think it's First Chronicles 13. When David consulted with the captain of thousands and hundreds and with every leader, David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seems good unto you, yes, if it seems good unto you, that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in the land of Israel, and with them also to the press and to the Levites which are in the cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. Now this time, David is ordering every device, every people, gather unto us.
That's a great king.
It is good. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquired not in the days of Saul. So in the days of Saul, the ark of God, they are not using or they are not making use of the ark of God. So when the kingdom expanded, now we want to worship God. We want to give thanks. For He is our protector, He is our king. That's what David said. God is our king. God is our protector. So we must worship and we must give thanks unto the Lord. So gather all the people, the Levites and the priests. So, and all the congregation said, oh, that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. The thing that King David is doing is right in the eyes of all the people, right? Sometimes you do these things, sometimes you do a work, this is good in the eyes of the people. But in the eyes of God, there must be something wrong. Now, and when David gathered all the Israel together from Shehor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirhath Jearim, and David went up, and all the Israel to Baala, that is the Kirjan Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up this the ark of God, and the Lord, the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubim, whose name is called Oni. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might and with singing and harps, and psalteries with timbrels and cymbals with trumpets. Now this is what the position now of the ark. Now in the days of the Levites, the ark was carried on their shoulder. But now here, the ark was carried by the cart, was put in the cart and was carried by men over a cow. And then, and when they had came into the threshold of Sidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand onto the ark, and there he died before God. So something wrong is now in the leadership of King David. One soldiers died. When I told them, when I was in my trip to Visayas, we have there a feast of the idols of Santo Niño. We call it small idol, Santo Niño, we call it Santo Niño. Then they carry it in the big motor boat in Leyte. So feast, that was January, that is the feast of their idols. As they were singing, then the motor boat was on the sea. The engine part of the motorboat broke up. So almost 100 people died. So they said, this is just a trials of our faith. Okay? Is it trials of your faith? It is trials of your faith that when the people are worshipping idols, they die. Is this the God that we worship, that we our lives will sacrifice to die? Then we said it is only a trial of faith, so that we can how stable we are. If you are going to leave the Roman Catholic, go to other religion. No, this is a trial of faith. Okay, and today, this is a trial of faith. But what happened to Uzzah when he died? Oh, the king was so and the anger of the Lord, and David was displeased. He was not happy. Even in our country,
There was also the feast of the river. Then you also have this idol worshiping. Then the coven, the ground, there was a short circuit and almost 300 of them died. So they said, okay, everything, if they die, they die in the Lord. If they live, they live in the Lord. So, but David was not happy. He was displaced because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzza. Also, wherefore that place is called Perez Uzza to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, Agittite, and the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom. Okay. So some people have said, if this new religion would come to your place, you become poor, no blessing. But this ark of God, this true religion, this ark of God was brought to the house of Obed-Edom, he was blessed. Mm-hmm. David wants that this ark of God be in the right place in Jerusalem. So he stayed there for 3 months. Now David, in chapter 14, David, now Hiram king of Tyre sent messenger to David and the timber of cedars with masons and carpenters to build him. And David perceived that the Lord had confirmed him king over Israel for his kingdom was lifted up and high because of his people Israel. David took more wives to Jerusalem. David begat more sons and daughters. Now, and David, verse 9, and the Philistine came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Okay. Then David inquired to God. That is the thing what David had done. David inquired to God, "Shall I go up against the Philistine? Will thou deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up, and I will deliver them into thy hand." At this time, my brother, at this time, David consulted God. When he wanted to bring the ark, he did not consult God. But this time, he consulted God. Then Saul, he came up to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there. And David said, "God hath broken in upon mine enemies, mine hand like the breaking forth of the waters." Therefore he called it the name of the place Baal-perazim. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandments, and they were born with fire. Okay, the gods of the Philistine was there also. So he burned everything there. Therefore David inquired again, and the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. The two times the enemy came to David. Then again David inquired unto God. So every time, if we have problems, we must inquire unto God. If we have plan in our lives, we must inquire unto God. Amen. So he then inquired unto God. And David therefore did ask God, and it shall be, yes. Verse 14, therefore David inquired again to God, and God said unto him, "Go not after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against in the mulberry trees." So God gave him another tactics or tactic to defeat the enemy. Okay, just go. Run, then go to the mulberry tree, then you do the ambush, or then you will win the war. And it shall be when thou shalt hear sound going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt go out to battle, for God is gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistine. So at this time, David is working what the will of God. Before the Philistine came, so he go and fight against them. But now this time, now God said to him, "Now go to the mulberry tree and hide them
and hide there. Then when you heard of the trumpet sound, then go and fight with this Philistine.
And then they win those two wars. When David submit himself unto the Lord. When we submit ourselves unto the Lord, hallelujah, every problem that we can have, God will help us. Because do not be afraid. According to the Lord, he that is in you is greater than that is of this world. So every Christian must be an overcomer if we only listen to what the Spirit of the Lord says to every one of us. And that's why make David an overcomer. In 13, you know what 13 is? When I say every 13 of the scripture, every 13 in the book of the Bible is Apollyon. When I was preaching this in our country, every Genesis 13, Leviticus 13, Exodus 13, Numbers 13, Deuteronomy 13, Samuel 13, 1 Samuel 2, Samuel 13, every 13 in the Bible, as I read, talks about Abaddon. Now, at this time, two times that David humbled himself, he even now go what the Lord would say unto him. So he became an overcomer. And this chapter 15, David made houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched it for in a tent. Okay? At this time again, David longed that the ark of God be carried to Israel, to Jerusalem. So at this time, he said, okay. Not now, my soldiers. He said, David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Yes? So every one of us has his place, has his position in the body of Christ. Now he is King David. He has many soldiers. They can carry the ark. Because the soldiers of David are very strong. But no, not at this time, David said. Not at this time. Tell those Levites and priests. First, they must clean themselves. They must holy. Then, he must go and get the ark in the house of Obed-Edom, right? So David calls the Duke and the Abitar, the priest, and for the Levites, for Oriel, Isaiah, and Joel, Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Abinadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Verse 12, 15, say 1 Corinthians of Chronicles 15, verse 12. And he said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites, sanctify yourself both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God to Israel into the place that I had prepared for it. Okay, that's the only thing that David said, you must sanctify first yourself, son. Now, country, one believer said, Brother Orsel, if you can only memorize 10 messages of Brother Abraham, you can preach around Philippines, go visit the churches, then you can preach 10 only. You only memorize the 10 messages of Brother Abraham. So I think, oh my. Yes, I have read many books of Brother Abraham. But you must understand that that Brother Abraham is always pointing us back to the Word. I even fight with them. Because they always told us, prophet. So I told them, I think you did not understand what the Brother Abraham said. One time when I told him that if God is still calling today, then apostolic ministry still exists. So I have preached unto them, before the cross there were 12 apostles, and after the cross there is still apostles. That God above us, it was the prophets. God with us, it was Jesus Christ. Amen. That is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, verse 2. But now God in us It is the Holy Ghost.
So Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, this apostolic ministry, this fivefold ministry has a big work in the body of Christ. So we must, I mean, as David said, you must sanctify yourselves, clean yourselves before you do, before you get the ark of God in the house of Abinadab. Yes. What up? People in our country, okay, if you have money, then you go to the seminary. Then after you graduate the seminary, you become pastor already. You become minister. The people are calling you a pastor because you came from the seminary. But I told him, there are so many churches without pastors. And there are so many pastors without churches. Is it true? Yes, it is true, Pastor Sam. Yes. I see he is a pastor. Where is his church? No, I don't know where is his church. Okay, but you call him pastor. So, it's so easier when Brother Branham said, you are not qualified to preach the gospel if you will not see the pillar of fire. If you will not experience the pillar of fire. See, if you will not meet God, don't go and preach. Now, at this time, David called Zadok and said, you must both of you must sanctify yourselves, both ye and your children, and the brethren, then that ye may bring up the ark of God, the ark of the Lord God of Israel, into the place that I had prepared for it. And because ye did it not in the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. Now when the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the stave thereof, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. And David speak to the chief of the Levites, to appoint the brethren to be singers in the instrument of music, psalteries, and harps, and cymbals sounding, by lifting up the voice with joy. So the Levites appoint Heman, the sons of Joel, the brethren Asaph, the sons of Berechia, and the sons of Merari, the brethren, and then the brethren, the second degree. So the singers was there already, and the singers, Haman, Asaph, Itam, were appointed to sound the cymbals. Sekariah, Azael, Aziel, and Shimi, Ramoth, and Jehiel, and Omri, Eliab, Maasila, Binaneah, and Saltaris of Alamun, and Matithiah, and Elipeli, and Mikineah, Obed-Edom, and Jeel, Azaiah with harps. And verse 24, Shabaniah, and Jisopat, Nitaniel, Amaseah, and Sikareah, Binaiah, and Eliezer, the priest, did blew with the trumpets before the ark of God, and Obed-Edom and Jehiah were the doorkeepers of the ark. Now, here in verse 24, there are seven men who hold that trumpet. So when they blew the ark, and when he blew the seven trumpets, David get into the city, changed his dress. He changed his dress. And he is singing and shouting, and David and the elders of Israel and the captains of their thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Abinadab with joy. And it compassed, and it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. David was clothed with a robe, fine linen. And all the Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, Chenaniah, the master of the song with singers, David had also upon him a ephod of linen. And thus all Israel brought up the ark of covenant of the Lord, with shouting and the sound of the cornet, and with the trumpets, and with cymbals making a noise, with psalteries and harps.
And it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, hallelujah, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out in the windows of David, dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. Okay, when the ark was brought to the city of David, David wore a fine linen dress. Yes. Not anymore a soldier. Huh? So I know, when the seven thunder, we'll have this message for us. It's according to Brother Branham. You have they can check the name, sign mo the name. Saul is good, but it was changed to Paul. The name Peter is good. Simon. Then he said, it will be only the thunders will do it. So this is what we are looking for. But if we are looking for Solomon is a good king, yes, he's a good king. But David is the best king. Huh? Everyone is good, better, and best king. David is the best king. Better Solomon is a better king because there's no war in him. You look at the churches today. Oh, we are the, because so many people don't want to be corrected, so they are growing. All the scripture is given for correction and for edification to every one of us. Amen.
Amen.
So David want to be corrected. But to be corrected, we must be humble first ourselves and confess that we commit sin. That is turning, the repentance was turning 380 degrees. Okay. So, but Solomon is a good king also. Two kings here, I found out they are good kings. But the best king is David. When he has done a mistake, wrong, then he just humbled himself. And when he was rebuked, he humbled himself. The last thing that David committed sin is when he was counting the people.
Yes.
This is the third thing that King David was commit mistakes. He count the people. How strong am I? Okay? He went to Joab, said Joab, count the people, how strong we are. Instead fellowship, now it became membership.
Yeah.
Instead of fellowship, it became membership. That's why Brother Abraham said, we don't have membership, we don't have fellowship with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Every one of us must eye to the Word of God. Now what? I must eye to Brother God and everyone to Brother God. No. Every one of us must eye to the Word of God. We are all in eye to eye with God.
Amen.
Now this is the third thing that David was wrong. In 2 Samuel chapter 24. Then you can also refer it in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, 1 to 6. And Satan is, oh no, I will read 1 Chronicles 21, 1 to 6. Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know. Okay? That's why there is a church in our country, when you become a member of the church, when you group fellowship, you will be given a personal data sheet. Your name, your work, how much your salary, how much your tithes, how much your love offering, how much your love offering, how much your pledge. Yes. So when the church, when the believer from the Mindanao said, okay, but Roshan, what is this? Why are you giving us the information sheet? Our job, our salary, our tithes, our why? Okay. If it's okay for you, then sign it. If it's not, choose you this day. You have to freedom to choose. So I said, okay. I will go home. I will leave my church. I will leave my work in Manila. I will go home to Ingoong City. Why? Why? David is doing this. Come, every soldier, every people, how many are we? He was rebuked by his general, Joab. Right? Joab said, the Lord make his people around. And David said to Joab, go number Israel from Beersheba, that I may know him. And Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times many more as they be. But my Lord of King, my Lord the King, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then that my Lord required these things? Why will he be a cause to trespass to Israel? But never the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people and to David. Okay.
Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 24, here you can see it, Satan stood up against David. But here in 2 Samuel chapter 24, okay, David spake unto the Lord words of the Lord. Is it what? Chapter 24. Okay.
And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba, I may know the number of the people. Joab said to the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever thee be 100-fold, and let the eyes of my Lord the King see it. But why doth my Lord the King delay these things? Joab said, the Lord thy God add unto the people. So every time there is a war, it is not the people of David who won the war, because God had promised, I will fight against you. It is God who fight against the people, the enemy of David.
Right.
So David said, oh my. Just like, remember Nebuchadnezzar. Then he said to the people, okay, the kingdom here is mine, the kingdom there is mine. I have everything is mine. Another king was, King Cyrus in Israel chapter 1. He said, this kingdom is from the Lord. It was given to me. Mm-hmm. So you return, O Israel, for your Lord had blessed me. Right?
Right.
So these three kings, David was one of them. So, okay, count the people. So how strong we are. Yes? Mm. How big we are. We started in the church with 3 people, and 1 month, 100 people, 2 months, 300 people. You count the people, how many are we today? And I forgot that God is only to lose to lose small things, okay? Wide is the road, many follow, then go to destruction. But small is the gate, many want to go inside, but few can enter in. Many want to get inside that narrow gate, but few can enter in. So we are not afraid. People say, oh, Rosa, how is your fellowship? Okay, how many years in the ministry? Almost 37 years. How many people now fellowship with you? 20, you know, Sunday, 20 people, 30 people. If there's birthday, many would go. Many would go because birthday. Our church started last 2 years. Now we are only 100 people. 100% attendance. Okay. What do you mean? What do you mean by it? Do you go back to Roman Catholic? Thousands of it. Thousands are there also. They are also Christian, okay? They are also Christian. You are also Christian, but the Catholics are also Christian, claiming to be Christian. There are thousands of it. I want cars, good car, many cars parked in our church. Okay, Roman Catholic also had many cars. But that is not the barometer that you all go to heaven. I know that in your church, you don't preach three kinds of believers. You just make the people happy. Huh? The Lord loves you. Everyone is loved by the Lord. Everyone is blessed by the Lord. So give also return to the blessing unto the Lord. The Lord is happy with you. We have good echo church. It is echo now. So I tell you, okay. You go to some of the charismatic church. They have the best. But because we are in the Laodicean, their lips are praising God, but the hearts are very far away to obey the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So David want to count how many members he had now. No, Job, no. The Lord God added horses. When we go to battle, it is God who always be in our front line. What happened to this Nebuchadnezzar who probably present himself, this thing is mine, this thing is mine, this thing is mine. What happened to him? In our country, it is just like a people who are foolishly, that the mind is off. Then you just be tied to the tree. Then you eat the grass. And that's what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. So David said, okay, count it! No, my Lord! No. You are only my elder. I am your pastor, you are my elder. No. I am your pastor. Even in the rapture, I am your pastor. Is it correct? Yes, sir. I thought, why you did not stop this kind of teaching? Even in the rapture, he is your pastor. Why? So, from this time, I will go. He will go. He will separate ourselves. Cannot anymore go with you. So these things happen also in the days of David, in the days of some of the churches today. Okay? Now, so he was again visited by a prophet. David was again visited by a prophet. When he was visited by a prophet, every sin has consequences. Okay? There must be consequences if we commit sin. Now, when David was there, the prophet of God visited David. Okay. Now, when the prophet visited David, said, oh, my king. Yes? What is it? Why have you done these things? Why are you promoting yourself? Why are you counting the people? It is God's people, not your people. Oh, my. I'm sorry, I commit mistakes again. Huh? He said to the prophet, I commit sin unto God. Please pray for me. But what happened already? It was already spoken. Joab already counted the people, and the people, and the king was also already happy. He was, oh my, I have thousands and thousands of soldiers. So nobody can defeat me anymore. Now you have spoken it already, David. So, the consequences will be there. So, what is the consequences? Okay, the prophet said, okay, just like three. One, the 7 years famine. Okay, when people, the 7 years famine, so the people will leave Canaan, go to Egypt, or go to other places. So, to save. Then, flee 90 days from your enemy. Now, you can read that in 1 Chronicles 21, 1 to 6 to upward. Then the David said, the prophet said, flee 90 days. So when the enemy came, you run. The enemy came, you run. Within 90 days, you are over this place. But the third thing is 3 days pestilence.
So David chose what is the good punishment that you he must get.
Famine.
Okay, it's okay. If there's famine, okay. All Israelites will go to Egypt. There's famine in Canaan. That's okay. You say.
So if there is 90 days, okay, we can run, we can run, we can run, we can run, we can run.
But if there is pestilence in your land, what happened to these people? Huh? They look to seek the Lord God. Amen?
If there is sickness in our house, in our family, then we have to kneel down, Lord.
Okay, Lord, what is this? Then you have to repent. Then you have to ask the will of the Lord.
Is this sickness, Lord God, will bring me to death? Then if I die, I die with you. If I live, I live with you. Amen?
Amen.
So David said, okay.
The people will repent, humble themselves and repent if there is pestilence in the land.
If there is sickness in the land, the people will humble themselves.
So he said, okay, I rather choose pestilence in my kingdom.
I mean, he had done this, 70,000 died. Still, 70,000 of his people died. Because when David counted these people, then the 70,000 said, Hail, O King! Hail, O King!
Disappointed king idea. But some of the people are not. My, why is it that the king is numbering us?
In every war, King David prayed to the Lord, Lord, you are our king. You will protect your people in every war. Why you should count? Why you should count? Mm.
So these 70,000 people are the Christian who are carnal.
Some of them who are spiritual, some of them who did not die, they are spiritual, but they backslide. Just like Abraham said, Brother Abraham said to Abraham, when Abraham left Canaan, he backslided. When every believer left the Word of God and stepped into the teaching of men, he backslided. But God said, repent and return unto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So that's the only thing David is the good example to every believer today as a king. Some people chose Solomon. It's okay. He's a better king. But the best king who had a humble heart is King David.
Amen.
King David. So, if you want to sup with Jesus in the supper and sit with him in the throne, okay. As kings in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, be like David.
Amen.
You're blessed.
Amen.
Let us rise up and thank the Lord for the words that you have.
You know, it is not easy for Brother also to preach in English because he speaks Visayas and Cebuano, and I think the light here was not there. He could not. That's why he used a little pen light here to shine on the text. And I pray that you get it. And I think simplicity of the seven kings, which one would you like to be and to emulate? And of course, King David is the one that will, because of all the kings, I think he is one of the most humble king. Was like Christ, and he portrayed Christ, being humble, and he makes mistake, and he's able to, you know, recognize a mistake, repent of it. And of course, the numbering of the children of Israel, the number that you read there, of course, are only the number of soldiers. By the taking the number of the soldiers, fighting men, you'll be able to see how many, at least on the average, the family. All right. So if that's quite a big sum of a soldier, 1.1 million out there in the north, and about 810,000 in the south. You know, that's a lot of soldiers. And he, of course, when in the numbering of soldiers, when you put confidence in what the army can fight, and that is very, very wrong, because then for God is not fighting for you. You know, and we thank the Lord, God is fighting for us, and we're not counting the numbers We are here for fellowship and not for membership, as I said. We are here for fellowship. Alright, and in order to enjoy the word of Lord in anything that was programmed in simplicity in any way. And that's what we want to gain in the knowledge of God. Amen.